download from Triple J.
For more music, current affairs, comedy and culture, triplej.net.au.
And now...
Triple J.
Triple J.
Triple J.
Triple J. Mornings with Zan.
The sound of Little Red is something that has definitely made you guys stand out from the crowd. When did five young guys from Melbourne decide that 60s R&B was the music for you?
It was never really a conscious thing to say, let's do this kind of music though, was it?
Yeah, nah. The only thing was that we had an interest in doing harmonies.
Yeah.
Because... obviously, me, Tom, Age and Quang have all been singers just for a long time, like in and outside of bands. Just the sound of voices gelling with each other, it's something that we all still to this day find very, I don't know, pleasing. It's a real satisfying feeling.
Yeah. Oh, it's so satisfying to, sing in harmony with other guys.
So it wasn't so much the 60s or anything in particular. It was more just the voices. And
Guess that kind of music lends itself more to what we do than like heavy metal. So
Where's this history of harmonies coming from? You said that you, in and outside of bands, you'd been singing. Three of you had been singing. Were you in school choirs or barbershop quartets?
I must admit that personally, I was in the school choir until about year seven.
Yeah, same.
So you had a lot of practice, Tom.
I did.
I think I was almost in the Australian Boys Choir.
Really?
Yeah. They went around our class and they...
How do you know you're almost? Is it one of those things like you were almost fit to be an ASIO spy?
Yeah. I don't know. Now, I think maybe my parents wouldn't give me permission or something. But I think that they actually took anybody as long as your voice hadn't dropped yet. It's like for Qantas ads and things like that.
How did you guys find each other if you said it was began from a love of harmonies? How did you all find each other?
Actually, we were just mates at school, really. And three of the guys, Quang, Dom and Age, were in another band. And then me and Dom started doing some stuff together.
Yeah, and we used to just walk down around the Yarra and stuff and hang out at my place, me and Tom, and make up our own little songs, like with just our voices singing together.
We were really into Nick Cave. So
yeah,
I think
it was like two teenage Nick Caves sort of singing in harmonies.
Do you think that changed the way that you wrote music, given that you began with the voice, you didn't begin with the guitar? What do the songs sound like, those early Little Red tunes?
They're a bit darker, really.
Yeah, as a general thing, they're probably
and longer.
Darker. Yeah.
Like about 7 minutes.
Well, definitely the stuff we were doing before, it was, they were long songs. It wasn't really cohesive it's still not in a lot of ways, but back then it was even more jarring, like we'd have songs about...
Finding a dead body.
Yeah.
Down by the river.
And then another one, about a girl, like a guy moving into a new town and like seeing a pretty girl.
So how did you find the cohesion? What was the point where you went, okay, we're going to talk about heartbreak, we're going to talk about soda pop, we're going to talk about happy things and keep it all mainly around the 3 minute mark?
Yeah, well, you found the Beach Boys and you really got into the beach. I think that was probably... pretty
but
seminal.
Actually, when we started, we didn't really go out to see bands and stuff, and we didn't realise what we were doing was any different. I didn't know there was a scene. If there is, I don't know if there is still.
Well, by now you've actually been well entrenched in that scene. You guys have been pretty much the support band in Melbourne and now doing your own shows over the last year to year and a half. Do you reckon that relentless live playing in the last couple of years has helped you figure out what works and what doesn't and what made it onto the debut album?
That's all it is, really.
Spot on.
I mean, I'm sure maybe this is not unusual, but we were just doing kind of three or four gigs a week.
You're not a real band until you're out there playing gigs, Recording is certainly an important thing, but to get that vibe, like, I think that we've got it a fair bit on this record. You can't do that with session musicians. Mm. It has to be the interaction of, like, guys that have been playing together for a while and all the little slowdowns and speed-ups and the different changes and reacting to what Tucker's doing or what Adrian Quang's doing on their instruments. Yeah, it really comes from playing the songs that often. And, like, certain songs, like Coca-Cola, for instance, has gone through an evolution and sort of as a result of playing it live that often that we worked out what stuff people really reacted to every time. So, yeah, touring, or just playing live is the best thing a rock and roll band can do.
This is a very, in a good way, a simply produced record. It's a very direct record. Is that really what you wanted to do when you got into the studio with Steve Sharan?
Well, the first time we actually recorded it, we went in and we did a whole lot of takes early last year, and that was actually before we kind of started gigging so heavily. And we sat on that for a while, and the more we gigged, you know, the better we got as a band, and we kind of got less satisfied with what we'd done. So then we went back in just a couple of months ago, and we really focused on doing a lot of them just live takes.
Well, we only had 3 days anyway.
Three days.
We just had to jump in and make it happen.
There's 3 days to record the whole album.
Yeah, there's 11 tracks which were done maybe 2 months ago in those 3 days, the bulk of the record, and then there's a few ones that are from the previous session.
Yeah.
They're kind of like scattered throughout it. Most of those tracks on the record are just belted out live.
A couple of takes.
Yeah, vocals and everything.
I don't know if there are any first takes.
No, there are. It's all right. It's a one take wonder.
We were going to put an asterisk next to it on the album and then down the bottom right, first take.
One take wonder, yeah.
I wanted to ask you about one of the special guests on the record. Jackie Cooper features a bit of Wilbur Wilde.
Willie Wilde.
On saxophone. How did you get like Wilbur on board? How did that happen?
He's an Ivanhoe boy, actually, just like me and Adrian. That's sort of in the northeast of Melbourne.
He's a customer at Adrian's video store. So it was kind of always our joke, like, we should get Wilbur Wilde to play saxophone.
Yeah. Like, and he's a great sax player, isn't he?
You know, I think he's in the ARIA, like, Hall of Fame. He's amazing. And it was our kind of, like, running joke that we want him.
One day
we get him. And then we got the guts to ask him, or Adrian did, actually. He said, of course.
He was down for it. He loved it. Yeah, and he was so enthusiastic. And he came in, and it's the best thing. We just chatted for about, you know, 20 minutes or half an hour, and he's just telling us all sorts of anecdotes about...
Oh, he's full of stories.
Yeah, it's great. Eventually, Steve had to kind of prod him and go like, oh, Wilbur, you ready to go and do a take? He's like, yep. Goes in and just like nails it pretty much. Well, he like ran through it a few times, and like it was really interesting how
he plays
he just
it differently every time.
Yeah, and developing melodic ideas, and then he'd go like, yeah, he had it so quickly. And it's great because he plays really in the style, like King Curtis or something like that. We played a gig with him then after
that
as payback.
That was payment, yeah. We had to play at the Ivanhoe Primary School Fete.
Which was awesome.
That
was
so fantastic.
Much fun. Yeah.
Is he going to return the favour to you? Is he going to be playing at the Melbourne launch of the Little Red Taboo record?
You should ask him. I haven't even thought about that.
I thought about it. Another one of those secret ideas.
Ah, the cat's out of the bag.
If you're listening, Wilbur.
Hey, Tom and Dom, tell me a little bit about the stories on this record. We were talking about, I guess, the changes that Little Red have gone through in terms of 7-minute songs about death to 2-minute songs about heartbreak. But is it stuff that you actually get inspired by, you know, normal everyday life? Or is it really just that sort of style of songwriting from the 60s that you kind of use as a motive for your album?
I think if you're a songwriter, you got to have fun with what you're doing. But then at the same time, you try and put something real in every song, like draw on some experience or something like that, or emotion. For instance, Speedo, there's an old 50s doo-wop song called Speedo as well. And it's basically the same thing. It's like the original player song. I just took that. I took the word Speedo. And in that one, Tom kind of plays the Speedo character and does the choruses. And the rest of us are just like talking about him. It's kind of gossip.
Tom and Dom, the original like players.
Yeah, but it's not us. It's not us.
It's what people... Oh, yeah. Well, it's the other guys talking about you, saying good... Like another one, which kind of tells a story, is Jackie Cooper, which we were just talking about. It's just a guy kind of, you know, telling a story, and then the other guys in the background are egging him on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the great thing that you can do with it, having all the dudes in the band. It's almost like great. You can do the Grease sort of thing.
We like that kind of storytelling... Yeah, like urban storytelling tradition. Yeah, we really like that.